This is Audible.
Podium Publishing presents Renegades, Book 7 of Expeditionary Force, written by Craig Allenson, performed by R.C. Bray. Chapter 1. As our Franken ship limped toward the Ruha data relay station, I squeezed my hands together to prevent from showing my anxiety in a more obvious fashion. It did not help that Major Desai was not in either of the pilot couches. Instead, two Chinese were handling the piloting. They were highly skilled. They had trained long and hard and demonstrated their competence, and they were not Desai. When I requested that she fly the ship for us, our last stop before setting course straight for Earth, she flat out refused in a polite, respectful, but firm way. She was not always going to be aboard the Dutchman, and I had to show the other pilots that I had faith in them. No amount of argument would change her mind, not even when I reminded her the main reactor had shut down twice in the past 5 days, that the new computer system was having trouble realigning the drive coils after each jump, and there was a frustrating, intermittent glitch in the stealth field generators. Each time we suffered a glitch, Skippy assured me he had a handle on the problem, that the glitches were actually helping him to fine-tune the new AI that could run the ship for us. His attempts to assure me would have been more successful if we were making progress on getting the ship to run smoothly, but we were experiencing more problems, not less. So, I was not feeling super-duper confident as we approached a Ruha relay station, outside an isolated star system that was the last place we planned to stop before going home. Finally, home.
You're sure about this, Skippy?
Yes, I am sure, Mr. Worrywart. The beer can's peevish tone told me he was feeling frustrated, too.
Sit in your chair and, I don't know, play a game on your phone or something. Leave the adults to do our jobs. We would already have the data if you hadn't insisted on taking precautions that are totally not necessary.
He was right about that. Not about whether we needed to be extra careful. That was a judgment call. I had ordered us to jump in a full day away from the relay station to give our bulky reactor plenty of time to fully recharge the jump coils before we approached the station. If we encountered any unexpected problems, I wanted to be able to make several jumps, even if the reactor was offline. We've been away from Earth a long time. Another day is not going to make a difference.
All right, fine. Go ahead. Do your thing.
Fine, he huffed in a way that meant it was anything but fine. The data we needed was not anything classified or obscure. It should have been at the top of the message traffic priority chart. And it was.
Bingo! Skippy exulted. Got it. The situation on Paradise is a hot topic. Lots of data I can skim right off the top. I will give you a summary while I keep digging. Might as well collect all the data we can while we're here.
Good news? I cringed as soon as I spoke, fearing I had jinxed us.
As you would say in your horrible Down East accent,
Aya?
Good news indeed. The program of vaccinations and creating a supply of curative drugs is proceeding well. One-third of the human population has already been vaccinated. The Ruha federal government is urging all the hamsters there to get the vaccine, and there is debate about making the vaccine available to all planets in their entire territory as a preventative measure. Of course, there is the usual cluster of Looney Tunes who reject vaccines, although the same morons don't have a problem with medical nanomachines swimming in their blood.
Ah, hey, that's how nature gets idiots out of the gene pool, right?
Bottom line, Joe, humans on Paradise are safe, and travel restrictions are being eased to allow normal commerce to resume. Colonel Perkins and her Mavericks just arrived back on Paradise. Their presence is reminding the Ruha that a group of humans discovered the lizard bioweapon plot against the planet, and that a group of humans rescued a ship full of cadets. Public opinion on Paradise is shifting from viewing humans as a threat to thinking are humans just as much victims of the Kristang as the Ruha public is.
That, I sighed and shuddered with relief, wriggling in the chair to mask how my shoulders had shaken.
That is great news.
Beside my chair, Hans Chotek clapped his hands together with satisfaction, allowing a tight smile to crease his lips.
Yep, good news all around. Another couple seconds and the download will be complete. Mostly boring stuff you wouldn't care about.
And?
Okay. Got it. We can go. I'll sort through the data and decrypt it while we're going to Earth.
Outstanding. Pilot, jump option Alpha. Then, because those words were rather dull for such a momentous occasion, I clear my throat to get everyone's attention.
Take us home.
It was my fault. All my fault. Not only was I walking around with a stupid smile on my face since we jumped away from the relay station, I also suggested to Totec that we have a big celebration at dinner that night. The universe hated me and decided I had exceeded my allowable happiness limit. In my cabin, I was examining the dress uniform I planned to wear at dinner when Skippy appeared on my bunk. "Hey, Joe," he said as he adjusted his giant hat. "Hey, Skippy. I mean, your Lord Admiralship. Listen, I know you are not thrilled about going back to Earth, but, Joe, we need to talk." "Oh, crap." I put the uniform top back on a hanger and gave him my full attention. "Is this about you being worried that UNEF Command won't be in a rush to send the Dutchman back out? We have almost 60 years before the gamma rays from that. No, this is not about the idiot decisions a high-ranking group of monkeys will make. It's not even about the clock ticking until other species realize the wormhole near Earth is not entirely dormant. Joe, I have bad news. If this bad news is something like the champagne froze solid when you were draining that energy virus away from the ship, that is not funny. We don't need champagne to have a party. I'd rather drink beer anyway. This is not about the party tonight, and it is no joke. You had better sit down. His avatar was on the bunk, and I didn't want to sit on him, so he solved the problem by blinking out and reappearing on top of a cabinet, so I sat on the bed. "What is it?" "In the data we downloaded from the relay station was bad news. And I mean really, really bad news." I glanced at my Z-phone. "You are just telling me about it now? Hey, it's not my fault. I decrypted and read through all the classified data first, assuming that was where the important info would be. I was wrong. There wasn't anything we care about in those boring files. When I skimmed through the data that was not encrypted, I found something very alarming. Remember I told you we needed to stop screwing with wormholes, because eventually the senior species would notice and get suspicious? Oh, shit. Yeah. The final straw may have been us breaking an elder wormhole. Or maybe that incident didn't matter. Maybe the Max Hulks were already alarmed enough by unusual wormhole behavior. Whatever. Joe, the Max Hulks have decided to send 2 ships to the wormhole near Earth. The one I shut down." I didn't respond. I couldn't. All I could do was sit there, staring at the deck in shock. "What I found in the data is a message from the Ruhar federal government to their fleet and to Ruhar star systems those Max Hulks ships may pass through along their flight path. The Rindaloo have requested, strongly requested, that those Max Hulks ships be given clear passage and not interfered with. If any Ruhar ships detect the Max Hulks task force, they are to report the sighting but not take any hostile action." The Rindaloo? Why would the spiders allow the Max Hulks to fly through their territory? "Because the Max Hulks are so worried about what is happening to elder wormholes, they suggested a joint mission with the Rindaloo. 2 ships, one from each senior species, meeting at the far end of that wormhole and investigating it together. Then they would travel together to the Earth end using a wormhole in Ruhar territory. The Rindaloo are concerned, but not concerned enough to get their lazy asses off the couch and do something about it. The Rindaloo will examine the data brought back by the Max Hulks and decide then whether further action is needed." Still, I couldn't speak. "Joe? Joe, come on. Say something." "We're doomed, okay?" I shouted as the stress overwhelmed me. "We're doomed. We are totally, completely, finally screwed. Is that what you want me to say? Huh?" He took a step back on the cabinet. I noticed that the back of his hat disappeared into the bulkhead. He must not have programmed it to act like it was a real solid hat. "Sorry, Joe. What I want you to say is that you will dream up some monkey-brained idea to fix the problem and everything will be fine." "Well, I can't. Not this time. Not again, goddammit. I can't do it. I..." My voice broke and trailed off to a whisper. "I can't do it. Not this time. Not again." I broke down crying, and I am not ashamed to say it. Everything the Merry Band of Pirates had accomplished had been for nothing. Worse, our actions to protect our homeworld from minor threats like the Kristang had attracted the attention of the biggest bad guys in the galaxy. It was our fault. My fault. Skippy had either taken seriously my talks about empathy, or he was embarrassed about me sitting on my bunk sobbing because he was quiet until I could talk again. Give me a minute, I muttered, and went to the tiny sink to splash water on my face. In the mirror, I stared at myself, and all I could think was thank God we were going to Earth, because I could step aside and let someone else handle this problem. It had to be someone else, because clearly all I ever accomplished was getting us out of one mess and into an even bigger mess. Humanity needed a long-term plan, and Hans Chotek was right. I reacted to crises instead of acting out a long-term strategy. Long-term. Going to Earth. Oh, shit. Did we have time to do anything? Skippy, I flung the towel into the sink. How long until those Maxalt ships reached the near end of the wormhole? I do not know that, Joe. The file did not contain details of their flight plan. Crap. Well, then, however, I do know the Maxalts are not expected to even launch the mission for another month. They want to collect data from other, more accessible wormholes before traveling all the way to Earth. That makes sense. It would suck to go all that distance and realize they don't know what to look for. They want to create a baseline for wormhole behavior so they can compare the Earth wormhole to others that have acted in an anomalous fashion. That, means they acted strangely. I know what an anomaly is, Skippy. Can they do it? Do what? Travel to Earth without using an Elder wormhole? Yes, they can. It won't take as long as that Therenan surveyor ship was going to need, but it won't be quick, either. The Maxalts are used to operating in areas where their ships can rely on extensive servicing facilities. For the isolated journey to Earth, their ships will need to be self-sufficient. That will require modifying something like a light cruiser. Thanks, that was good info, but that was not my question. I meant, can the Maxalts get the, what did you call it, baseline measurements from wormholes you screwed with? No, actually. That is a good question, Joe. I should have thought of that myself. No, they can't, but they don't know that yet. By now, any wormholes I screwed with along the way have fully returned to their normal settings and behaviors, except... This could be a problem. Remember I told you that I noticed wormholes I screwed with had a slightly less stable connection to the network, and even other wormholes in the local area are also less stable? Yeah. I stared at the ceiling to recall what he had told me. You said that's why we can't keep screwing with the same wormholes over and over, even though their locations are convenient to us. Something about possibly triggering a shift across the network. Exactly. Now that I think about it, the disruption of the network connection should repair itself on a logarithmic timeline, but sensitive instruments like the Maxalts have might be able to detect the residual effects, even now. I am sure the Maxalts will bring their best full-spectrum sensor technology to the effort. Damn, Joe, it is good that you asked that question. Once again, I find myself being shamed by an ignorant monkey. You're not just saying that because you know I feel like crap right now. Why would I do that? His avatar's eyes were open wide in puzzlement. I shook my head. No reason. Oh, is this an empathy thing? You think? Okay. Let me think of some comforting bullshit to tell you. Joe, everything will be all right. And, imagine I said whatever other meaningless platitudes people say at a time like this. Do you feel better now? You know what? I did feel better, not because of anything he said, but because I imagined myself wringing his little neck. Yeah, that was super helpful, thank you. Score! The avatar jumped and mimed giving someone a high five. Ha! This empathy thing is easy. I don't know why everyone makes a big deal about it. You know what? The fact that the Maxalts could detect disruptions in wormhole connections could actually be good for us. I mean, for you monkeys. If the Maxalts find lots of interesting data from examining wormholes I adjusted, they might delay the mission to Earth, so they have more time to collect and analyze the data. That might be good. Give us more time to prepare. Prepare how? He took off his ridiculous hat and scratched his shiny spherical head. Paint a big target on Earth to make it easier for the Maxalts to destroy your planet. That's not... Oops, sorry. That was insensitive. You actually like that miserable mudball. Well, I guess you could prepare for a big blowout coming extinction party. Maybe Hallmark has a set of balloons for a party like that. I gave him a single finger gesture, and was not saying he was number one. I meant prepare to destroy those ships before they get to Earth. As if. Oh, that's a good one.
Monkeys destroy a pair of Max Hulk's cruisers!
2 weeks ago, you told me that in a contest between the universe and a bunch of monkeys, the universe is totally screwed.
Oh, that. Yeah, I was mostly just bullshitting to make you feel better. See? I tried empathy back then, and now it has totally backfired on both of us.
Silently, I bonked my head on the cabinet next to my bunk. How about we drop the subject of what to do about the Max Hulks for now? Since any such talk is an utter waste of time, I would love to drop that subject.
Great.
I stood up and rolled my shoulders to get blood pumping. In a couple minutes, I needed to crush Hans Jotek's spirit by telling him the bad news. He was going to blame me. And what bothered me was he would be right to blame me. On our second mission, I dreamed up the idea of Skippy screwing with Elder Wormholes by changing their connections, and I never considered the consequences. Another example of my short-term thinking. The Max Hulks suggested a joint mission with the Rindaloo. It was their idea. They weren't required to do that by some old treaty. There is no such treaty. The Max Hulks even suggested a Rindaloo representative might travel aboard one of their ships after the Rindaloo declined to send a ship to participate. The Rindaloo turned that down immediately. They do not trust the Max Hulks at all.
So the Max Hulks made the offer, hoping the spiders would say no?
Nope. Those rotten kitties wanted a spider to come with them because they want access to knowledge the Max Hulks do not have. If the Max Hulks can't figure out what is wrong with the wormhole network, they hope the Rindaloo understand the data.
The idea of bitter enemies actually offering to cooperate made me shake my head and wonder.
Explain one thing to me. Why would the Rindaloo not join the Max Hulk's mission to investigate the wormhole near Earth? Any potential problem with the Elder Wormhole Network has to get the spiders worried big time. The Rindaloo cannot possibly be that freaking lazy.
Well, they are remarkably lazy, but you're right. Laziness is not the only reason they declined the offer. They're insufferably arrogant, Joe.
The Rindaloo were alone in the galaxy for a long time before the Max Hulks developed technology for spaceflight. The spiders still view the Max Hulks as primitive young punks who were lucky to get their hands on Elder technology they could use as weapons. Without those Elder devices, the Rindaloo would have stomped the Max Hulks back into the Stone Age when the kitties attacked. By now, the Max Hulks have stolen or copied crucial Rindaloo technology, so the spiders do not have a huge advantage. The simple answer is, in their ancient arrogance, the Rindaloo believe they know pretty much everything there is to know about the wormhole network. Whatever they do not know, they think the Max Hulks will not be able to understand, so they see a mission to investigate the wormhole near Earth as a waste of time.
So, the Rindaloo are ancient and arrogant, and they were alone for a long time.
I paused to see if he caught on to where I was going.
He didn't.
And you think that arrogance is going to bite them in the ass?
Big time, Joe. The arrogance of the Rindaloo pisses me off, Joe.
Oh, you don't like the competition?
Very funny, smart guy.
No, it pisses me off because the spiders, for all their knowledge about the physical universe, have still only barely scratched the surface, and they have no idea about the true nature of reality.
You wouldn't care to share the true nature of reality with me, would you?
No. That is something I can't tell you for reasons I can't tell you. It is kind of a circular logic, but it is what it is.
Yeah, well, Dr. Friedlander told me you explained how Theren and doorknobs work, so we're making slow progress on you sharing technology with us.
We can wait.
I hope.
Okay. Now I need to tell this good news to Chotek.
You may want to wait on that, Joe. Count Smoochula is with a lady friend, if you know what I mean. They decided to celebrate early, sort of.
Oh, that is just freaking great.
Of course he's having a good time. Everybody else is happy that we're going home, and I'm stuck in my cabin with Dr. Doom.
I haven't dismantled the sex bot yet, Joe. Would it help if she...
No, sex bot.
If I had been offered a choice between A, telling the bad news to Hans Chotek, and B, shaving my head with a rusty cheese grater, I would go for B every time. When Skippy told me Chotek was back in his office, it was 2 hours later. Damn, that guy has stamina.
Or maybe Smoochula and his lady friend took a nap after, you know, the fun.
That is what I wanted to believe. When I knocked on the doorframe, he was smiling and waved me in to sit. Of course he was in a good mood. 5 minutes later, he was not in such a good mood. I fell on my sword before he could give me a major ass-chewing.
Sir, this is my fault. I did not consider the risk in asking Skippy to adjust the connections of wormholes. When we get to Earth, I will take full responsibility.
No, you will not. It is not solely your responsibility.
I just stood there, mouth open. There are a lot of things I found maddening about Hans Chotek. The most frustrating thing about him was that I could almost never predict what he would do in a given situation. The guy was a career diplomat, yet he had planned an operation to spark an alien civil war.
Sir? Skippy began adjusting wormhole connections during your second mission, based on your idea, correct? You were not able to consult with authorities on Earth about the concept before you had to utilize the ability.
Yet, he waved a finger in the air. When you returned from your second mission, no one on Earth raised an objection.
Well, they raised plenty of objections, I reminded him.
There were objections to risks you took by landing on the planet Newark.
That drew a smile. He must have had the pleasure of visiting that fair city when he was working at the UN in New York.
None of the supposed experts considered the adjustment of wormholes to be a potential problem at the time. I will remind them of that fact, if they object when we return.
Colonel Bishop, he looked me straight in the eye, I do not like being second-guessed by what you Americans call Monday morning quarterbacks.
Yes, sir.
This news is, he searched for the correct words in English, disheartening. It means our entire mission to the Roach Motel, he no longer grimaced at the nickname he disliked, was a waste of time and effort. We took the risk of going there to rescue Skippy so he could continue to help us safeguard the people of Earth. With the Maxhulks now coming to Earth, all we have accomplished is giving the senior species a fully functional Skippy to fight over.
I hadn't thought of it that way, sir.
The Schoffelkatzen are not the immediate problem. He used a German term for rotten cats. His opinion of the Maxhulks had changed after his failed attempt to talk and negotiate with Mr. Snuggles at the Roach Motel. The only talking Snuggles had done was to angrily shout insults and threats at us, mostly at Chotek.
Sir?
He had lost me. What could be a bigger, more immediate threat than two supremely powerful warships coming to Earth?
The first problem we will need to confront when we get home is our governments. Before we departed on our mission to confirm the Saranin were not sending a second surveyor ship to Earth, he rolled his eyes, the first time I had seen him do that.
It seems like that was such a long time ago, no?
Such a naively optimistic notion, that sending a starship out to gather intelligence could be quick or simple.
He sighed and shook his head with a chuckle.
I know so much better now.
Colonel Bishop, before we left Earth, there was a debate within UNEF and the wider UN among nations aware of the truth. The debate was between a faction who wished to continue the mission of keeping our secret and a faction who thought it better to approach one or more alien species to negotiate. I was chosen as a compromise, but as I have told you, I am strongly opposed to revealing the truth to aliens like the Ruhar. Even more now that I have seen the galaxy, I am convinced that revealing the truth about the Flying Dutchman on Skippy is a certain death sentence for humanity.
I was surprised when you told me, sir. To be frank, I would have thought you would be in favor of negotiating, you being a diplomat.
As a diplomat, I have seen firsthand the limits of negotiation. We have no power to negotiate. As soon as aliens learn about Skippy and the wormhole controller module you call a magic beanstalk, they will simply take those items from us. When we inform the governments of Earth that there are a pair of Maxhulks warships coming to our homeworld, there will be many people who will think approaching the Rindaloo Coalition soon will be our best hope for survival. We must somehow persuade the nations of UNEF that is a foolish notion.
How? What else can we offer them as hope?
He looked at me and smiled. Not the practiced, controlled smile of a diplomat. This was the weak and frightened smile of someone who does not entirely believe what they are saying.
We can offer them the hope of a miracle.
He held his hands out, palms up.
This crew has performed miracles on a regular basis. As Skippy has told me, monkeys are endlessly clever.
Ah, crap, I said out loud before I could stop myself.
Damn it. No pressure on me.
Sir, I think the first miracle we need is selling that line of bullshit to the governments of Earth.
He laughed, a genuine, hearty laugh.
Hans Chotek was loosening up. I guess being with the pirates had corrupted him. Then he surprised me again by offering a hand for a high five. It was a little awkward, but I slapped his hand.
I came in here thinking you would be much more upset by this development.
Colonel, we were already bringing home the information that within 60 years our secret will be exposed no matter what we do out here, that Earth is eventually doomed. This unfortunate development merely accelerates the timeline.
It accelerates it a lot, I thought to myself, but I didn't say anything like that.
Sir, I think we should continue with the celebration dinner tonight. Let the crew enjoy one night. We will tell them the bad news tomorrow.
Colonel, I have long experience with plastering a fake smile on my face. You will be able to make merry tonight?
Mr. Chotek, one thing I am sure of right now is I really need a drink.
The crew had a great time at our celebration, and I pre-gamed by chugging 3 plastic cups of champagne before the party started. The buzz allowed me to be happy and smiling and fun, and even managed to push the impending doom of humanity to the back of my mind for the evening. I did not spill drinks on my dress uniform, but there were mysterious red dots on my top. Yeah, maybe it was pasta sauce. The alcohol helped me so much I got up on stage and did a karaoke duet with Skippy. I forget what song we did. Maybe there was more than one song. I was on stage for a while. I do remember Adams joined me on stage, then Friedlander and some others. By the time I crashed in my bunk, my buzz had worn off, but I was exhausted and slept past my alarm. Skippy had to wake me by zapping my neck with some electrical thing. Chotek and I decided to wait until we were 2 days out from Earth before telling the bad news to the crew. There was no point ruining their good mood before that, and 2 days was long enough to process the info before we arrived home and got swept up in debriefings.